Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Verse number 24. Oh, we said we were going to go over this purport some more on 23. Here is the same Supreme Personality Godhead, whose transcendental form is experienced by the great devotees who are completely cleansed of material consciousness by dint of a rigid devotional, by dint of rigid devotional service, and full control of life and the senses, and that is the only way to purify existence. As stated in the Bhagavad Gita, purport by Srila Prabhupada, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, Lord can be known in his real nature by dint of pure devotional service only. So it is stated here, so that is 11, Srimad Bhagavatam, 1154, that it is stated here that only the great devotees of the Lord who are able to clear the mind of all material dust by rigid devotional service can it is stated here that only the great devotees of the Lord who are able to clear the mind of all material dust by rigid devotional service can experience the Lord as he is. Jitendriya means one who has full control over the senses. The senses are active parts of the body, and their activities cannot be stopped. The artificial means of the yogic processes to make the senses inactive has proved to be abject failure. Even in the case of great yogis like Viswamitra Muni, Viswamitra Muni controlled the senses by yogic trance, but when he happened to meet Menaka, a heavenly society woman, he became a victim of sex, and the artificial way of controlling the senses failed. So he's talking about meditation. So Viswamitra Muni meditated for 60,000 years, and he still fell down. But in the case of a pure devotee, the senses are not at all artificially stopped from doing anything. But they are given a good engagement. So yeah, that's also a verse in the third chapter of Bhagavad Gita. In the beginning it says, Nahi kaschit sanam api jatu tistati karma krit karyate hi avasa karma sarva pakriti jayagunai. Everyone is forced to act helplessly according to the qualities he has acquired from the modes of material nature. Therefore, no one can refrain from doing something, not even for a moment. So that is third chapter, fifth verse. So it says here, but in the case of a pure devotee, the senses are not at all artificially stopped from doing anything, but they are given different good engagements. So that is three. When the senses are engaged in more attractive activities, there's no chance of their being attracted by any inferior engagement. So by the artificial process or processes of yoga, and there's many of them, they try to artificially stop the senses from acting. So the senses are knowledge acquiring senses. There are two types, knowledge acquiring senses and working senses. So if you artificially try and stop them, you can do it for some time, but you cannot do it continually. And this was proven by Viswamitra Muni and Sobhara Muni is another one. Both of them were able to control their senses for thousands of years and they still fell down. They still fell down. So it says that the artificial way of controlling the senses failed. But in the case of a pure devotee, the senses are not at all artificially stopped from doing anything, but they are given different good engagements. Yeah, like chanting, dancing, feasting, and so forth. Those are good engagements. When the senses are engaged in more attractive activities, there is no chance of their being attracted by any inferior engagements. In the Bhagavad Gita it is said, that the senses can be controlled only by better engagement. So that is second chapter, 59th verse. Vishaya vinivartante nirahara shadehina rasavarjam rasapiyasya param drishtva nivartate. Which says, the embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. That this is the whole point. This Krishna consciousness process, where we don't deny the senses or try to stop them artificially, but we give them good engagements, uplifting engagements, inspiring engagements, then one can control them. So you don't control them by denying them from acting artificially, as the Mayavadis and impersonalists do. But you control them by engaging them in fun, transcendental activities. Just like a child, you can't control a child by keeping the child tied up 24 hours a day. But you can control the child by giving the child fun and educational things to do. See, that's the difference. So it works for children, it works for adults also. Devotional service necessitates purifying the senses or engaging them in the activities of devotional service. So what is modern life about? Just like right now, there's the coronavirus, the coronavirus, and there's also, if you go to Florida, there are thousands of college students doing nonsense every day in Florida during their, what do you call it, their spring break. Thousands of American students go down there. And there's pictures of them doing all kinds of nonsense things. They're supposed to keep separation, 6 feet separation from each other. No, they're jumping on each other, they're dancing, they're pushing each other, and they're just doing nonsensical things right now. So that means they're not getting educated, and they're getting drunk, and they're drinking, and they're smoking marijuana, and doing all kinds of crazy things, even though there's such a danger from this virus. They don't care. They're stupid. They're not getting educated at all. And say, they might know a few things about science or philosophy, but it doesn't translate into anything practical. And their senses are getting more contaminated. So devotional service necessitates purifying the senses or engaging them in the activities of devotional service. Devotional service is not inaction. So the Mayavadis, they want to attain some kind of perfection by inaction. And the devotees attain perfection by intelligent action, purifying activities, like parikramas and circumambulating Tulsi Devi, worshipping Tulsi Devi, worshipping deities, going out on Sankirtan, chanting Hare Krishna, distributing prasadam. These are all purifying activities because it's all connected to Krishna. But, if you connect to Florida and the beach and doing nonsense, that's not going to purify the senses. That's going to get them more contaminated. And that's exactly what's happening right now in Florida. Anything done in the service of the Lord becomes at once purified of its material nature. Well, yeah, that's the fourth chapter. 24th verse, where it says, Brahmarpanam Brahma Avir Brahmarno Brahmana Hutam Brahmaiva Tenagantavya Brahma Karma Samadhina. A person who is fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness is sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because of his full contribution to spiritual activities, in which the consummation is absolute and that which is offered is of the same spiritual nature. So that is anything done in the service of the Lord becomes at once purified of its material nature. So that is the fourth chapter, 24th verse. Okay, so then the material conception is due to ignorance only. There is nothing beyond Vasudeva. The Vasudeva conception gradually develops in the heart of the learned after a prolonged acceleration of receptive organs. So this is a little bit complicated statement. It says, the Vasudeva conception gradually develops in the heart of the learned after a prolonged acceleration of the receptive organs. Well, first of all, what is the Vasudeva conception as opposed to the material conception? And the material conception is explained in depth in the Bhagavad Gita. Let's see if I have my book here. The material conception is something that we've studied before. So, yeah. It begins with attachment to the objects of the senses. Then one's mind is preoccupied by many material desires. And when one is frustrated, he or she develops hatred and envy. One seeks happiness outside of himself by enticing victims for his sense gratification. He seeks the company of other persons suffering from the same illusions. He dislikes the feeling of loneliness and seclusion as long as he feels successful in materialistic society. He has a tendency to overindulge in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. He loses control over the activities of the senses and the mind. Due to identifying oneself with the temporary body rather than the eternal soul within the body, he develops the false ego that he is the body and identifies himself with temporary designations of family, race, ethnicity, nationalism, etc. He tries to prolong his existence in the temporary body by material strategies of diet, bodybuilding, supplements, plastic surgery, and other medical procedures. Because of all his misconceptions, he develops the false ego and becomes falsely proud of his temporary material achievements. He is never satisfied with, and whenever he is frustrated in achieving his material goals, he becomes angry, resentful, and always blames others for his failures. When he cannot get as much sense gratification as he wants, he becomes angry and delusional in his behavior. He over-endeavors to acquire material sense objects and always seeks to be praised for his material possessions and achievements. He becomes completely entangled and attached excessively to material things, and in his total state of bewilderment loses all interest in spiritual knowledge and God-related pursuits. His mind then is overwhelmed by material considerations, and he becomes continually anxious and fearful as he gets older, sick, and approaches death. There are three stages of the material conception of life. One, negligence of spiritual life because of too much attachment to material pleasures. Two, fear of an eternal spiritual personal identity that gives rise to the mistaken conception that one may merge into the homogeneous oneness of the impersonal light called the Brahman effulgence. Three, or the conception of void after death that comes from frustration in life, from which one develops disbelief in everything, being angry at all sorts of spiritual speculation out of hopelessness. One may adopt different forms of intoxication, and any hallucinations one may experience are accepted as spiritual visions. Another aspect of accepting the material conception of life is the perverted material understanding one develops of the different species of life due to ignorance of the soul. One sees only the different types of bodies of living beings, dog, cat, man, elephant, insect, fish, bird, etc. The reality is that the individual soul in each species of life has nothing to do with the incidental bodies that entrap them. One receives a material body according to the different unfulfilled desires of the previous life and karma, the good and bad reactions of activities. Okay, so that's a summary of the material conception of life. Pretty horrible. And I think I forgot one thing. Yeah, the material conception of life, one prays that there is nothing after death. That's their prayer. Please, O Spirit of the universe, let there be nothing after death. They don't never say the word God. They talk to some spirit of the universe. Yeah. Okay, so that's the material conception. Now, what is the Vasudeva conception? Well, the Vasudeva conception, that's the 7th chapter, 19th verse, which explains Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudur Labha Bahanam Janmanamante Gyanavamam Papadyante Vasudeva Sarvamiti. In other words, it says, after many, many births and deaths of speculation, one eventually comes to the conclusion that Vasudeva, or Krishna, you are everything. Such a Mahatma, or great personality, is very rare. So you see, Krishna consciousness, you know, manusyanam sahasresu kaschit jati siddhaye jatatam api siddhanam kaschit maham veti tatputaha. In the 7th chapter, I think it's the 3rd verse, that says that out of many thousands and thousands of persons, one may try for a spiritual perfection, and out of thousands and millions of those people, only one will know Krishna in truth. So it's a very rare thing for people to actually become fully Krishna conscious. There might be many people, because it says out of thousands of people who try for perfection, that try to understand Krishna, but very few actually understand Krishna, because you have to be a pure devotee and consistently to be able to have, you know, let's say, realization of who Krishna is in truth. So out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth, Krishna says. So this Vasudeva conception, after many, many births and deaths, one may come to the conclusion that Vasudeva, you are everything. Krishna, you are everything for me. There's nothing else in this world that interests me except you. And such a person is very rare. Okay. So that what is the Vasudeva conception? Well, one follows the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness under the direction of bona fide gurus, and they listen to the dictation of Krishna as it's coming through the parampara. So this is in the 6th chapter. This is the symptom of a devotee. This is the difference between demons and devotees. The demons don't listen to Krishna or to bona fide gurus. And the devotees do listen. So the demigods, sometimes they do nonsense. You know, Indra does a lot of nonsense, right? But ultimately, they accept the instruction of the Lord, and they can be corrected. Whereas the demons, they never accept good advice. They never accept advice of the pure devotees. They always reject it. They may even listen to it, but they reject it. I said, this is nonsense. It's not for me. So this dictation of the Lord, Prabhupada writes, he says, 6th chapter, 6th verse. For him who has conquered the mind is the best of friends. But for one who has failed to do so, his mind will remain the greatest enemy. The purpose of practicing Eightfold Yoga is to control the mind in order to make it a friend in discharging the human mission. Unless the mind is controlled, the practice of yoga for show is simply a waste of time. One who cannot control his mind lives always with the greatest enemy, and thus his life and its mission, the mission of life, is spoiled. The constitutional position of living entity is to carry out the order of the superior. As long as one's mind remains an unconquered enemy, one has to serve the dictations of lust, anger, and greed and illusion, or avarice and illusion, etc. But when the mind is conquered, one voluntarily agrees to abide by the dictation of the personality of Godhead, who is situated within the heart of everyone as Paramatma. Real yoga practice entails meeting the Paramatma within the heart and then following his dictation. For one who takes to Krishna consciousness, perfect surrender to the dictation of the Lord follows automatically. So how many times did he say dictation, right? Actually, it says one and two and three and four. And before that, he said, the constitutional position of living entity is to carry out the order of the superior. That means a dictation. So five times in a short paragraph, he repeats the word dictation. That means, dictation means someone is ordering you. They're dictating. You know, the word dictator comes from dictation, right? They're dictating. So you have to do this. And the demons say, no, I'm not going to do it. I don't care what you say. I'm not interested. I don't want to chant Hare Krishna. I don't want to do this. I don't want to wake up. I don't want to come to Mangal Arati. I don't want to do Tulsi Puja. I don't want to hear the class. I don't want to eat prasadam. I want to eat any junk that I want to eat. Right? So you see, the whole difference is that the demons never accept the dictation of the Lord, and the devotees accept full-heartedly the dictation of the Lord. In fact, the next purport says, for one who has conquered the mind, the supersoul is already reached, for he has attained tranquility. To such a man, happiness and distress, heat and cold, honor and dishonor are all the same. So, in the purport, Prabhupada says, actually, every living entity is intended to abide by the dictation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, one. When the mind is misled by the external illusory energy, one becomes entangled in material activities. Therefore, as soon as one's mind is controlled through one of the yoga systems, one should be considered to have already reached the destination. One has to abide by superior dictation. When one's mind is fixed on the superior nature, he has no alternative but to follow the dictation of the Supreme. The mind must admit some superior dictation and follow it. The effect of controlling the mind is that one automatically follows the dictation of the Paramatma or Supersoul. Because this transcendental position is at once achieved by one who is in Krishna consciousness, the devotee of the Lord is unaffected by the dualities of the material existence, namely distress and happiness, cold and heat, etc. This state is practical samadhi or absorption in the Supreme. So you see, listening to the dictation of the Lord, that frees us from dualities. Should I do this or should I do that? Say that's people's life every day. They're saying, should I do this or should I do that? Right. But if you follow the dictation of the Lord, you know, you're no longer baffled or confused by the dualities of life. So then that's the Vasudeva conception. You know, whatever Krishna says, even the Christians say this, they say, whatever Jesus says, that's what I'll do, and that's it. folks, nothing else. Jesus is everything for me. So in the same way, Krishna is everything for us, and whatever he dictates us to do, that's what we're going to do. And that's what Arjuna tells Krishna, Karishya Vachanam Tava, whatever you say, that's what I'm going to do. So that's the Vasudeva conception. But the process ends in the knowledge of accepting Vasudeva as all in all. Vasudeva Saramiti, Samahatma Sadrulabha. In the case of devotional service, this very same method is accepted from the very beginning. And by the grace of the Lord, all factual knowledge becomes revealed in the heart of a devotee due to dictation by the Lord from within. See, the word dictation right here. The dictation is coming from within. Therefore, controlling the senses by devotional service is the only and easiest means to go back to Godhead, or the easiest means of yoga. So, there you go. You can see about this dictation. This is the Vasudeva conception, or Krishna consciousness. So this is Srimad Bhagavatam 1.10.23. Okay, so any questions? Well, it's the false ego. That's it. See, here is an explanation of the false ego. Again, in the sixth chapter, fifth verse, we didn't read that one. Udared atmanatmanam natmanam avasadayet atmaiva hi atmano bandur atmaiva ripur atmanaha. One must deliver himself with the help of his mind and not degrade himself. The mind is the friend of the conditioned soul and his enemy as well. Purport. The word Atma denotes body, mind, and soul, depending upon different circumstances. In the yoga system, the mind and the conditioned soul are especially important. Since the mind is the central point of yoga practice, Atma refers here, in this particular verse, to the mind. The purpose of the yoga system is to control the mind and to draw it away from attachment to sense objects. It is stressed herein that the mind must be so trained that it can deliver the conditioned soul from the mire, meaning the dirt, of nescience, of ignorance. In material existence, one is subjected to the influence of the mind and the senses. In fact, the pure soul is entangled in the material world because the mind is involved with the false ego, which desires to lord it over material nature. Therefore, the mind should be trained so that it will not be attracted by the glitter of material nature, and in this way, the conditioned soul may be saved. One should not degrade oneself by attraction to sense objects. The more one is attracted by sense objects, the more one becomes entangled in material existence. The best way to disentangle oneself is to always engage the mind in Krishna consciousness. The word he, H-I, is used for emphasizing this point. That is, one must do this. It is also said, Mano eva manusyanam karanam bandha mokshayo bandhaya vishaya sango muktyai nirvishayam mana. For man, mind is the cause of bondage, and mind is the cause of liberation. Mind absorbed in sense objects is the cause of bondage, and mind detached from the sense objects is the cause of liberation. Amrita Bindu Upanishad 2. Therefore, the mind, which is always engaged in Krishna consciousness, is the cause of supreme liberation. This is extremely important. The mind and the false ego are connected in a person who is a materialist. And therefore, the mind is the receptacle of all the impressions of the other senses. So if one is attracted to the glitter of material objects, then that overwhelms the mind with all those images, and then one wants to have those things and control them and exploit them. It could be things, it could be people. So the soul is entangled in the material world because the mind is involved with the false ego, rather than being involved with Krishna, see? So we're trying to learn how to involve our mind with Krishna. And material education teaches us how to be, how to involve our mind with the material world through the prism of the false ego, which wants to dominate and control. Now, this is even in children. Like, let's say there's two kids. They're only like maybe 2 or 3 years old, right? And they're playing. And one kid has something that the other kid sees and they want it. So they just take it. And then the other kid says, no, that's mine. And they get in a fight. Does that happen? Have you seen that? As you see, that false ego is there from a previous life. Children are not born pure. That's another mistake. No one is born pure. The impurities are coming from the previous life. They don't manifest right away. They do manifest, even in, like, and there's this one example I gave just now, but they get really bad at puberty when a child becomes 12 or 13. Then it really becomes bad, and they become, all their material desires from previous lives just seize their mind, and they go berserk. Okay, so we'll stop right there. Any more than that, I'll just scare you more. So that's it. Huh? Dictation, yes. Some people think dictation is you're like a secretary. Write this also. No, that's not dictation. Is what the Lord is saying. That's the real dictation. That's what we should listen to. It's not some, you're not a stenographer. You're listening to someone talk nonsense. You're writing it down. We have to listen to what Krishna says. So every day in the morning and the evening, we're hearing what Krishna says. The material conception as opposed to the Vasudeva conception. Yes. Hare Bo. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama.